Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now I can preach it like this, okay? Repent! Or I can tell you, change your mind. Preaching repentance in the area of consciousness of sins is dishonoring the work of Jesus.
Repentance means you realize you're guilty, that you deserve the wrath and punishment of God. You begin to realize that sin is in you, and you turn your back on it in every shape and form. You renounce the world, whatever the cost, and you deny yourself and take up the cross and go after Christ.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we sorta go.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Have you checked your email this morning?
Incoming message.
I think he wants to communicate.
There's a message.
I want to get online. I need a computer.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here. Ooh, this is Wretched Radio, kind of slapping a Band-Aid on our regular show open. Why? Because we're having to be roommates today at Wretched Radio. We are doing some construction, big time moving in the studio, and I've been kicked out of my studio, so I have to be in here with the maskless Jimmy Hicks. Dude, I went into a building yesterday. And they made you put on a mask. I was shocked. I think that we've Georgia, for the most part, is so maskless.
Yeah.
When I went into an organization that said, you've got to put a mask on, I was like, what?
Took you by surprise.
It did take me by surprise.
What is this, March?
I don't know.
2020?
I don't know where you're at with your state, but right now, Georgia is a maskless sort of place. The government not mandating masks, but hey, that's the Georgia government. Have you been to Canada lately? They seem to have a different take on the COVID business, and they are still willing to insist that churches are shut down. By the way, one more reason you might want to think about moving to the nation of Texas. The governor there just signed a piece of legislation that said the government cannot shut down churches, period. You can't, it can't be done. Abbott signs religious freedom law prohibiting government from closing places of worship, stating, I just signed a law that prohibits any government agency or public official from issuing an order that closes places of worship. The First Amendment right to freedom of religion shall never be infringed. Well done, sir. Canada, not so much. And some pastors are saying, sorry, we can't conform to your standard because we have to meet. We have to worship. And one pastor in particular, well, actually, there have been several, but this pastor in particular was just arrested again. Arrested, church shut down for meeting during the COVID lockdown, and they decided to meet again outside. And he received a visit from the Canadian Mounties. Would you like to have your heart broken? Imagine a pastor standing in his driveway, holding one of his small children with the other children gathered around him. Looked like about 5 kids, which means they probably homeschool. And the police were also there. And his wife was there. And they were going to arrest him and put him into a car and take him away for not obeying the lockdown rule. You might have to get used to hearing this. Okay. All right. That's enough of that. Hearing it is horrible. Imagine living it. Be praying for our dear brothers and sisters. Canada, certainly aggressive regarding a lot of liberal issues, including, hey, guess what? It's not going to be Pride Month in Canada anymore. No, that's not good news. It's going to be Pride Quarter. They've got to dedicate 1/4 of the year to a particular people group to celebrate them. No word about a celebration of anybody else, just LGBTQ. Congratulations. Canada. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. Jimmy, wait a second. I'm going to put you on the hot spot. I've got another government story. The Florida governor has just signed a piece of legislation to make sure that the kids have one moment of quiet time, that they can take a moment of silence for meditation or for whatever, because they believe that it's really important for kids to do that. And the Florida governor stating, hey, you can't succeed without God. Other people saying it's just important for kids to be able to have some quiet time. Here's what it is called. The bill is HB 529, requires teachers in first period classes in all grades to reserve at least one whole minute, but not more than two, during which students may not interfere with other students' participation. The new law says teachers may not make suggestions for the moment of silence, encouraging parents and guardians. Can we call them parents and guardians still? To discuss with their kids the best use of this time. The word prayer is not used in the law, but it does allow prayer. Jimmy?
Yes?
Good legislation, bad legislation?
Good.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I am too.
Because it's not trying to impose Christianity on people.
Right.
Because I don't want the government preaching Christianity. I'm sorry. I know there used to be a day, but I don't want them talking about our Savior, our religion, because you don't know what you're going to get. So if they keep this like, hey, do whatever you want to, keep your ums down, ring your bells, you'll have to do that someplace else. As long as they keep this really neutral, then swell. And that includes mindfulness. By the way, let's hope this doesn't turn into that. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
So I take it you don't do yoga?
Not much.
Well, the first one is, it's from Anonymous. It's not a question, it's an observation. And he says he attended a virtual promotion ceremony for his fifth grade daughter's promotion to middle school. Of course, all of the teachers and administrators were...
Okay, can I just stop?
What?
Look, it's cool that a kid graduates from fifth grade. We get a promotion celebration.
You get a certificate.
Okay. We went to sixth grade and then went to junior high for 7, 8, 9.
Right.
There was no celebration. There was no promotion. I didn't get a ribbon or a medal or a prize for graduating from fifth grade.
Did you not get a certificate for a free ice cream?
Nothing. Nothing.
Goodness, you got robbed.
You're telling me. All right, so what happened at this climb?
So he says the teachers were all spouting the typical believe in yourself word salad. He says his daughters know better than to buy into the nonsense. But the thing that really got up his nose was when one teacher thought it'd be prudent to remind the students that, quote, smart is not something you are, it's something you get.
I see.
Says he nearly vomited, ending a sentence in a preposition and using all the words incorrectly. His wife had to calm him down by reminding him that his insistence upon appropriate use of grammar was just simply a manifestation of his toxic whiteness.
I like his wife, I like him, and wow, can I relate. Have you ever been told by the missus, don't, just calm down, don't do it?
Every day.
That place that was going to make me put a mask on. Calm down. Just don't do it. Can I feel that? Did you hear the two worldviews represented in that email? There were two. Where does the idea of believe in yourself come from? And I believe it comes from romantic philosophy. The whole idea of self-centeredness is the ideal. Cast off your shackles. You be you. You do you. Believe in yourself. Dream it. You can achieve it. All of that is romantic. That is why when worldviews, they're just everywhere. And these statements, these bumper sticker philosophies are never neutral. They always have a worldview behind them. The second worldview, believe it or not, that you heard there was critical race theory. What? Critical race theory, that doesn't have anything to do with the kids being promoted. Wait a second. What did they say about being smart? It's not something that you are, it's something that you get. Well, yeah, you can get smarter. Nobody denies that. That's the whole point of, you know, going to school. But that's critical theory. Nobody is better than anybody else. It's also postmodernism, incidentally. But nobody's better. Nobody's smarter. Nobody's faster. That's why we give an award to, well, fifth graders for being promoted, and everybody gets a ribbon for just participating in the race. That's also CRT. That you can't say. That's why I'm shocked we still have valedictorians. By the way, speaking of valedictorians, Jimmy, let's see if we have agreement on this one. The number of valedictorians that are being shut down because they can't talk about Jesus during their speech, does that bother you?
No.
Yeah, see, it doesn't bug me either.
It's time and place. They know the rules.
And that's what the place is.
Right.
And we want it neutral. I don't want mindfulness. I don't want Buddhism. And I don't want bad Christianity being propagated. So that doesn't bother me. But this is actually CRT on display, because you can't say that one culture is better than another, one nation is better than another, that one people group is better or worse than another. You can't do it. In other words, stereotypes have absolutely no basis in reality because we're all the same. That is just observably false. I know for a fact that I was not the one who was wrecking the curve. I was the one needing the curve. And I'm willing to say there are just some people smarter. Now, these days, the CRT worldview would say that's privilege. The Bible would say that's just a blessing from God. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org. This is Wretched Radio.
The father of lies has been a murderer from the start. His MO hasn't changed in 6,000 years. He desires to deceive people into doubt, and that can ultimately lead to disjointed desires, affections, behaviors, thinking, and worship. But Jesus is much better at what he does, telling the truth and giving life abundantly. And we want to help remind you of all the promises God has given us and just how much his word is sufficient for all of our struggles. Drive-by Biblical Counseling 3 is here. It's a 63-lecture series that biblically tackles issues like abuse, self-harm, eating disorders, addictions, and suicide. Order your copy right now and start learning how to apply the truth of Scripture to your life and to your struggles. God hasn't left us empty-handed. Drive-by Biblical Counseling 3 is available right now at wretched.org/counseling3. That's wretched.org/counseling3.
Not that we normally quote Joseph Stalin on Wretched, nevertheless, he rightly said the death of one man is a tragedy. The death of millions is a statistic. We have to be so careful that our Christian hearts don't grow cold when we hear the statistic that 1 million babies die every year from abortions. We need to remember that is one baby at a time. That is one mommy. That is one child. That is even one daddy.
My choice to become a mom and hear those little footsteps running down the hallway every morning is all because I had an ultrasound. It saved my life and hers.
Ultrasounds save lives, one baby at a time. How many ultrasounds could you provide through preborn.org/wretched for just $28 per ultrasound? Please help save one baby at a time. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for being here today on Wretched Radio. Are you getting the monthly Wretched newsletter? If you got to stop and think about it, then you're probably not, because if you were, you'd remember. The monthly Wretched newsletter comes to your email every month. Imagine that. And it covers tough theological issues and keeps you up to date on all things new at Wretched. Just go to wretched.org/newsletter to get signed up. That's wretched.org/newsletter. Not only are you going to get updates on all the things happening in Wretched, but you're also going to get thorough and in-depth messages on a wide range of theological issues. Plus, and this is probably the best part, you become eligible to win free stuff from Wretched just by being signed up for the monthly Wretched newsletter. It's free. We're not going to check your credit or anything invasive like that. All you have to do is just go to wretched.org and scroll all the way down to the bottom and click newsletter to get yourself signed up. Or you can do it the easy way by going to wretched.org/newsletter. That's my recommendation. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture. One key principle of hermeneutics is reading verses in context. Words can have multiple meanings, but the intended meaning of a word is understood from its context in the surrounding words, verses, paragraphs, and chapters, all understood in the context of the Bible as a whole. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Crowns. Just busy earning crowns. This is Wretched Radio. No, not getting something put on my molars. Instead, I'm earning eternal rewards by... I don't want you to pity me. I'm just enduring this chair. How can you even call this a chair? This thing is... I'm sitting... This is chair in your studio is as comfortable as those fancy schmancy and super expensive 10-speed bikes.
Have you not learned the how to handle guests? You make the guest chair uncomfortable so
that
they
leave sooner. I see your modus operandi. Speaking of fancy expensive bikes, last night, I'm not become a heretic. We went to Whole Foods. By the way, Whole Foods is Latin for disappointing. It always looks so good. It just needs more salt and it needs more butter and put more gluten while you're making that pizza, if you don't mind.
Process that a little more.
So we had a little bit of chicken salad, which was outrageously overpriced, and the grapes were really soft inside of it. But more crowns for me. There were a bunch of guys sitting outside. In their spandex, sitting around the table those bikes are thousands of dollars. I mean, like, they can be $15,000. And they're wearing cleats, and they're like weekend bike warriors. And they were drinking beer.
They were done riding their bike, obviously.
No, they were not. So they get back on their bikes, and I couldn't help but think to myself, wait a second, if we're supposed to be sharing the road and treating bicyclists like automobiles, shouldn't they have DUI problems too?
RUI.
Riding under the influence. <Yeah. laughs> Don't do it. And send your emails to idea@wretched.org, and I'll just lay hands on my own lower back. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Right. This one's from Mary. She wants to know how she can respond to someone who says that Christianity has pagan origins.
Oh, is that canard still in existence? You've heard it before. The Christianity's a rip-off religion. It's a knockoff. There are other gods like that, and there's other sons of God and virgin births and resurrections. It's all just hocus-pocus, a myth like others. That's nonsense. Jamie, if you'd be so kind, because did I mention I'm not in my own studio earning crowns, but not in my own studio, so I can't push the button on Horace Steals Christmas. This is Mr. Lutheran satire. It's probably, well, Patrick maybe was another one of his greatest hits. But this is just pithily done. It's a Lutheran church, and the Christmas service is going on, when all of a sudden, out of the blue, Horace appears.
Well, thanks to all of you for coming out to our service this morning, and I pray that the rest of this Christmas day is wonderful for each and every one of you.
Not so fast, preacher man. Behold, it is I, Horus, Egyptian god of the sun. And while you all believe that you've been celebrating the birth of your Lord Jesus, you've really been celebrating the birth of me. For you see, thousands of years before your Jesus came around, I, Horus, was born on December 25th. I, Horus, was born of a virgin. I, Horus, was baptized by a man called Arnup the Baptizer, was crucified and was resurrected 3 days later. So you see, your Jesus is nothing more than plagiarized poppycock. And I, Horus, have come to feast upon the sorrow of you foolish Christians.
Yeah, none of the stuff you just said is true.
Yes, it is.
No, there's no reference in Egyptian mythology to Horus being crucified or resurrected 3 days later. There's no documentation anywhere for the existence of a figure named Anup the Baptizer. Horus's mother was not a virgin woman, but the goddess Isis. And there is no specific date anywhere tied to the birth of Horus.
I'm pretty sure there is.
Actually, no. All of these claims and many others indicating that early Christians yoinked the mythology of Horus and stuck it on top of Jesus were all completely made up by Gerald Massey, a 19th century cuckoo banana bird self-taught Egyptologist who never provided the slightest shred of evidence for any of these claims and who was laughed out of the room by every serious Egyptologist on the planet. So thank you very much for your attempt to ruin our celebration of Christ's birth, but I'm afraid we're all still having a very merry Christmas, Horus.
Horus? Did I say my name was Horus? No. What I meant to say was, behold, it is I, Mithras, Roman cultic god of the something-something, and while you all believe that you've been celebrating the birth of Jesus, you've really been celebrating the birth of me. For you see, I, Mithras, was born of a virgin. I, Mithras, had 12 disciples, and I, Mithras, gave those disciples a meal consisting of my body and my blood. Sound familiar, Christian dummies?
Actually, Mithras was born from a rock, not of a virgin. He had 2 companions, not 12 disciples, and the Mithraic meal was one he shared with the sun god, where they feasted not on his own flesh, but on the flesh of a bull. But even if those claims were true, Christians were already confessing the virgin birth, recognizing the 12 apostles, and celebrating the Lord's Supper before they ever encountered any Mithraic cults. So I'm afraid that you've taken neither the holly nor the jolly out of our Christmas, Mithras.
Tyne, you gotta wake up.
Sorry. I'm just that it's a tiresome objection to Christianity. It is just not historically factual. And this brilliant Lutheran satire bit just dismantles it totally. I think isn't there another clip there, Jimmy? Part 2. Here it is from Lutheran satire.
Oh, you must have misheard me. I'm not Mithras. I'm Quetzalcoatl, Aztec god of the wind. And while you all think that you've been...
No Christian on the face of the planet ever heard of Quetzalcoatl until the 16th century.
Well, then I'm Balder, Norse god of the...
There were 193 popes before Balder's mythology was actually written down.
Then I'm Horus, Egyptian god of the sun.
You already did that one.
All right, fine. I didn't want to completely humiliate you, but you've left me no choice. I shall now unveil myself to be the ancient deity whose mythology was inarguably stolen by early Christians. Behold, I am...
The ancient Mesopotamian god of judgment. 6,000 years before your Jesus spoke of returning to condemn the lost and resurrect the faithful, my followers proclaimed that I would return to destroy my enemies and raise the dead. So silence your joyful voices, Christians. Your Lord is nothing but a cheap carbon copy of me, the destructor who goes by many names. I am Vulgus Zildroha. I am Lord of the Cebulia. I am Gozer the Gozerian.
Gozer the Gozerian is from Ghostbusters.
Dang it, why do so many people still know that movie? I don't understand. If all the things that Gerald Massey said about me were complete fabrications, with no textual evidence whatsoever, why do atheists like Bill Maher reference these claims as if they were true?
Well, Horace, I suppose it is strange that people who insist that they won't believe anything without verifiable evidence are more than willing to believe anything without verifiable evidence, as long as that thing can be used to mock the gospel. But we shouldn't be surprised when people reject proof of Christ's resurrection in favor of demonstrable lies that let them remain in unbelief. After all, Jesus did say, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead.
I said that before Jesus did.
Oh, you absolutely did not.
Thank you, Lutheran Satire, for doing the heavy lifting. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right, how long should our quiet time be, Todd?
Oh, I've got this one.
Do you?
Oh, nailed this. This is definitive. This is ex really uncomfortable cathedra speaking right now from a really hard chair. Pope's chair is comfortable more than this chair, at any rate. Here it is right now. If you want to know how much time you should be spending with your Lord, with your Bible open, praying, here it is. As long as you want to. There you have it, right there. Hey, that isn't easy to figure out, is it? Exactly. The brilliance of God, not laying down rules. This is a heart issue. And it's really a means of grace for us in that it grows us. Why? Because this is now a relational decision. This isn't just, okay, here, what, how much time? I'll put in my time. I'll do my 15 minutes or whatever. I'll do that. And on the day I fall short, well, then I'll make it 22 the next time. I can do that. That's not what God is after. It's like giving. God tells you to give what you want. Sorry, I don't think it's 10%. Remember, Old Testament tithes were 23 1/3% anyway. Tithes were never just 10%, and I don't think God is after a tithe in the New Testament. He's after our hearts. What do we want to give? How much time do you want to spend with Him? Now, if you'd like to know how to spend more time with Him, here it comes. Spend more time with Him. If you would like to grow in the amount of time you focus on His Word, perhaps praying, then spend more time focusing on His Word and praying, and you will want to spend more time focusing on His Word and praying. And as long as I brought up the subject of prayer, if you have not received your copy of Face to Face yet, I encourage you to get one at wretched.org. It is a prayer book that is actually praying the Word of God. So you actually hear the Word of God while you're praying God's words back to Him, and then it gives you time to pause and ponder the very words that you just spoke to God. It's brilliant, it's helpful, and it will help you to have a rich and robust quiet time, whatever amount that is. Available at wretched.org. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Republican Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed a bill Tuesday that prohibits closing churches in the state, thereby protecting the religious freedom of citizens. The bill prohibits the government from forcing places of worship to close even during an apparent crisis. The move to protect places of worship from government intervention and closures come more than a year after Abbott had forced heavy restrictions on Texans in the wake of the worldwide lockdowns, including the closure of churches in the state. Soon after, though, on March 31, 2020, Abbott signed an executive order deeming religious worship as an essential service and allowed church buildings to reopen for public services. The government of South Africa is currently considering a bill that, if passed, risks severe negative consequences for religious organizations and individuals, all in the name of equality and the prevention of unfair discrimination. The bill would count actions and words or omissions as discriminatory and actionable, whether they're done so intentionally or not. It sounds more like tyranny to me. But it's not just Christians who are gravely concerned about the potential impact of the bill. And the proposed bill is just one of a series of potential laws that the government of South Africa is now pushing that all seem geared toward turning the country into a socialist nation. Disney used to be the former go-to company to celebrate the wonder and the magic and the innocence of our childhood, but now it's hosting an LGBTQ-themed pride concert for kids next week, because that's exactly what kids are asking for, right? It's billed as the This Is Me Pride Celebration Spectacular, and it's hosted by a drag queen. The event will be streamed on Disney Plus, on YouTube, and on Facebook, and it's also going to feature performances of notable Disney songs reinterpreted through an LGBTQ+ lens. Earlier this month, that same drag queen who will be hosting this parade made a controversial appearance as a cartoon character on the popular Nickelodeon kids show Blue's Clues, in which he narrated via song an animated Pride parade. Yep, Disney sure goes all out for homosexuality and transgenderism, because obviously they are the wokest place on earth. And if you haven't heard, the Supreme Court has upheld Obamacare for a third time, ruling 7-2 that the state of Texas did not have standing to overturn the national health care program that pays for abortions. And when it comes to abortion funding, obviously Obamacare has already paid to kill babies and abortions, and Joe Biden signed a COVID relief bill to greatly expand abortion funding, even though abortion has nothing to do with COVID, but anyway, we're splitting hairs. A December report from the Charlotte Lozier Institute, Family Research Council, and the Heritage Foundation found that 69% of the health plans in 24 states on Obamacare cover elective abortions. The freedom of speech, the right to bear arms, those things mean absolutely nothing to our liberal leaders. But you better give us the freedom to murder babies, because that's a fundamental right on which this country was founded, the right to murder babies. We have got to do better. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible.
2 Corinthians is Paul's second letter to the Corinthian church, written about 1 year later. Since Paul had last written, some false apostles had snuck in and began to question Paul's authority. There are many who claim authority in the church, but those called by Christ will bear the marks of Christ, which are humility and reliance upon Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's a new day in America. This is Wretched Radio. Don't you worry about the past. You'll never bump into it. You'll never be exposed to it. It'll never be taught to you, and you'll certainly never see a statue of an historic figure. Why? Because the current mindset of American culture is we're brilliant, everybody who came before us is horrible, and we don't want you to remember anything they did that was good. That effort is being revealed again. The former president, can't say his name, otherwise I think he could put on a terrorist list. He wanted a garden of statues, of historical figures, you know, really controversial ones like Harriet Tubman and Billy Graham, you know, ooh. And the current president just killed it with fire. No statues. So don't worry. You won't have to worry about visiting those when you take trips anymore as a family. There will be no more history in America. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right, from Marley, she writes in and says, "So I am a born-again Christian, but I consider myself not to be a good person just because the Bible says in Matthew 19, there is none good but one, that is God. I try to live my life devoted to the Lord and turn from my sinful flesh and iniquity, and yet I do not consider myself to be a good person. Am I taking anything out of context, or am I misinterpreting something?"
You're maybe misinterpreting Latin. If you can remember 4 Latin words, I know it's Latin, but they're very, very helpful. Simul, justus, et peccator. You can hear the words. Simul. That's simultaneously, justus, just or justified, et, and, peccator. It's, okay, that doesn't sound like sin, but that's what it is. You're simultaneously justified while sinning and yet sinning. That's the Christian life on this side of the veil. When you're glorified, no more sinning. Until then, you are positionally sanctified and not yet totally sanctified. Practically, you are therefore not glorified yet, which means our flesh keeps desiring to sin. Please remember, you do not have an old nature. You have an unglorified flesh, which means it still has stuff in it that desires for you to sin, and sometimes you give in to it. That's the battle of sanctification. And if you remember those 4 Latin words, you won't fall into a ditch of either lawlessness or being licentious as a part of that, or becoming a legalist. You won't, because you remember, okay, there's a distinct difference between 2 words, justification and sanctification. You're justified totally, fully, completely, past, present, future. You didn't choose it. You can't lose it. You can just tweet that if you want to. But you are not yet sanctified. That is a process. Do not confuse justification and sanctification. In other words, remember your Latin, simul justus et peccator. And please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right, from Hudson, he wants to know what Christians should think about fantasy and magic in media. Should it be something that Christians have liberty to consume?
Okay, I recognize there could be some holes in this ship, but I'm going to set it to sail anyway. Let's just change magic with something else. I know you're going to poke a hole in this really fast, but just let me give it a go, and I'll try to patch that hole that you created by shooting a cannonball through it in response to my analogy. Let's replace magic, which we, I think, agree the Bible forbids, Deuteronomy 18, magic, witchcraft, sorcery, divination. There's not good magic, bad magic. It's all bad, and God hates it. He hates it. It's one of the reasons the Jews were dispersed. Got the picture? He really hates it. Are there other sins that God hates? Yes. Adultery. Rape, let's use one of those in lieu of magic. Is it okay to watch shows that has rape going on? That shows adultery? You'd go, no, no. Wouldn't that apply to magic and arts and divination and sorcery? If God hates those things, we rightly recognize we can't be watching that. It's watching sin. It's a promotion of sin. Even if it's painted in a bad way, your eyes just shouldn't go on those things. And we realize that. What's the difference between rape, adultery, and magic? God abhors both of them. Now, here comes your cannonball. Well, do you ever watch like a murder mystery? I get it. Do you ever see a movie where somebody lies? Yeah. And I have to confess to you, I have the answer to you of a Texas congressman who was vying to make sure that girls couldn't wear short shorts, which I think would be a really good idea. Pop, you should be enforcing that law. And he was asked, well, how short should they be? And his answer was, you know it when you see it. Okay, there's just a difference. There's just a difference. I don't actually think it is healthy for a Christian to watch murder. And you shouldn't be watching it and just kind of consuming it like blasé. But that's the distinction right there. We tend to watch the Harry Potter, the whatever it is. It's just entertainment. You wouldn't say that about a murder show. It's just entertainment. No, it's not. It's a morality tale. It's teaching something about murder. It's showing that people who do murder get punished. And when it comes to magic, we just kind of consume it like it's just no big deal. And I think it is. And even if you're not buying my illustration, could we at least elevate our understanding of how much God hates it? You and I have certain sins that are like, whoa, 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 horrible. Bestiality, pedophilia, raping a child. You just, that's how God feels about magic. Are we sure we can justify consuming it, especially uncritically? Please send your emails disagreeing with me on that to idea@wretched.org.
From John, he says...
That was quick.
Well...
it was about something else.
Yeah, you want my opinion?
Yeah.
No.
Come on.
No, I can completely agree with what you're saying. It's...
Help me with my illustration, though, because look, my heart could be wrong on the watching a murder mystery, because there's something like currently I would go, well, I think it's okay. It depends on what it is. Now, if it's gruesome, I just don't think we should be watching the dismembering of an image bearer. But right. When you find out, you know, somebody died and now the detective is going to figure it out.
Right. If you follow a timeline like a Dateline or something like that, that doesn't actually show the murder happening, maybe it's something, it's okay.
But that's okay. So they're just showing the magic. They don't show the magic. They just talk about the magic a lot.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, there's something I can't exactly put my finger on it, but it's there. You just know it when you see it. What's John up to?
John says, is it wrong to hear of a detestable, sinful behavior and yet find comfort in knowing that God will give them justice, the justice they deserve?
Yeah, that's both. It's absolutely both. It is not easy. It truly isn't. We tend to have an emotion at a time. We're really called to have both. And please let this be a reminder that we don't get annoyed with other Christians who don't respond at the same time with the same emotion that you do. So you hear about something abhorrent. One Christian goes, ah, that is such an assault on King Jesus. The other person goes, oh, the depravity of man. That people do such wicked things. And that person who is clearly not a Christian is going to be spending eternity in hell. Okay, which emotion is right? Both. We got to have both of them. We must have righteous indignation when God is assaulted. Not when we're offended. When God is assaulted, we should have righteous indignation. And yet, I think at the same time, simul justus et sympathy. That we at the same time, we want justice. We don't like God's justice being offended. But the wickedness of man, the depravity of humanity, the eternity of those who don't trust in Jesus Christ. You've got to have both of those things, and they don't need to happen at the same time. And there could be events where you don't even express both of those simultaneously or even at the same time. That's okay. Let's not become feeling legalists, but let's be mindful. It should be both. I think there's a complexity of responses to tragic events. And I've seen people actually fight with each other because, wait, you should be acting like I'm acting. You should be responding the way that I am. And, well, they don't. And it's okay. It seems that we are willing to separate and get annoyed with one another on just about anything. And it's in a moment like that when love should overlook a multitude of, it's not even a sin in this instance, but we just don't get offended by, we don't get annoyed by, because the panoply of emotions is wide, it's varied, and not one of them alone is right at this time for all people in all places. We can disagree on how we respond emotionally. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. And Jimmy, I've got to say,
yes.
Salute. Everybody's including their name.
I know. They heard that it annoyed me.
I like it. I like it a lot. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org. This is Wretched Radio. Surprise! I continue to be surprised by MediShare, even though I researched it like nobody's business before Mrs. Friel and I committed to affordable, biblical health sharing as opposed to our traditional insurance plan. I researched, but I did not know all of the things that I'm discovering about MediShare. For instance, people are way more satisfied after making the switch. The customer satisfaction rate is double that of typical health insurance plans. Double. Is MediShare right for everyone? No, nothing really is. But it might be right for your family, and you might be very, very happy with it, especially when you're saving on average $500 per month per family. Interested? Learn more at MediShare.com/wretched or receive a quote within 2 minutes by calling 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
I say potato, you say potato. I say primer, he says primer. For the last 20 years, there's been a remarkable amount of talk about the gospel, but could it be that we've been talking more about the message than we have the wellspring of the message? The word gospel is used 25 times in the New Testament, but the word Jesus is used 691 times. Have we majored more on the message than we have on the center of the message? Maybe it's time we fill our hearts and our conversations more with Jesus. And Wretched has a unique opportunity for you to begin doing just that. Pastor Milton Vincent has written a powerful book that we know will grow your love for Christ. He calls it the Gospel Primer. I say primer. Either way, we wanted to make this book available to you because we want you to begin to experience the joy of the Lord in a more powerful way. Get your copy of the Gospel Primer, by visiting wretched.org/gospel. That's wretched.org/gospel.
And now a message from our dear brother Paul Marty of the Tomorrow Club's Kids Bible Clubs all throughout Eastern Europe. Just in case it isn't difficult enough to do ministry in poor Eastern Europe.
2020 has been a challenging year for all of us, and especially hard for the vulnerable kids and families that Tomorrow Club serve. But support from the Wretched audience has enabled us to continue to bring a message of hope, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the forsaken places we serve. Thank you so much.
If you are a Tomorrow Club supporter, I echo his gratitude. If you are not, would you please consider becoming a Tomorrow Club supporter? You can sponsor your own kids club in Eastern Europe so efficiently. Just $30 per month to disciple 30 kids. Learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Attributes of God. Can God make a rock so big he cannot lift it? God is all-powerful. He created the universe and everything in it, and nothing can thwart his will. So the question of the rock is nonsensical. It does not expose a problem with God, but with the thinking of the one asking the question, and they will one day have to answer to the omnipotent God.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, this is as good a time as any. This is nice high bar, Friel. This is Wretched Radio. There are issues that different Christians have different emotional takes on. Different Christians at different stages and phases will have a different response or see something and want to focus on an aspect of it at different times. And all too often, it causes us to get annoyed with one another. And I happen to have in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers a quote that I've been wanting to use. This was actually sent in to idea@wretched.org from Nate. Thank you for this, Nate. This happens to be a quote from George Whitefield in a message that I think we want to be careful. There are times for sharp-cut distinctives. We need more of those, frankly. There are times when division is mandated, not necessary, mandated. But there are many times in our Christian walk where we just need to be seeing each other as brothers and sisters and overlooking some stuff. This George Whitefield quote might help. The love that I bear you, he's writing to somebody with whom he has a disagreement. The love that I bear you. The love that I bear you. So when you see somebody who's a Christian say, write something on an issue and you disagree with it, we do need to start here. That you love that person. The Southern Baptist Convention just took place. No doubt, everybody left it going, I didn't like that part. But I love those people because we're in fellowship together. Back to Whitefield. The love that I bear you constrains me to send you a line. It is some concern to me that our difference as to outward things should cut off our sweet fellowship. God knows my heart. I highly value and honor you. I applaud your zeal for God. And though, in some respects, I think it is not according to knowledge, and to be leveled frequently against me, yet indeed, I feel no resentment in my heart, and should joyfully sit down and hear you and your brothers preach. Oh, when shall the time be? Our Lord and our God, your younger brother and servant in the gospel of Christ, George Whitefield. Please send emails like that or an email with a question, comment, conundrum, or snark to idea@wretched.org.
Joshua wants to know if God gets upset with us. He says in the Old Testament, it looks like he gets very upset and mad when people sin. So does he still get that upset with us?
Got to be super careful on this. The word upset, what does that mean? Hey, parents are upset. The kid's upset he didn't get a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Okay, so what is the range here that we're talking about? Let's just say this. We can say this definitively and I think pretty easily. God is grieved when we sin. God is grieved. Now, we need to take a look at another theological truth, and that is you cannot be any more underneath the wrath of God. You're not. Jesus assuaged the wrath of God. He bought you. You are in Christ. You are perfectly loved. You can't be loved any less on any given day, no matter what you do, if you are in Christ. Having said that, does it mean that he doesn't, in some sense, that's maybe a shading of being grieved, be like, positionally, you're safe. So you're no longer under the wrath of God. But could you do something that actually makes him perturbed? I think we got to be really careful with that. I think that I could see both sides of the argument saying, well, yeah, he can, because as you rightly stated in the Old Testament, he did get annoyed with his chosen people. Really? In fact, one generation he hated. Zoinks. So we see that on the other hand, because you're positionally in Christ and God's affection toward you never changes, I could see somebody saying, well, no, he can't be upset with anybody. I guess as I sit here in this extremely uncomfortable back-breaking chair that Jimmy provided for me, but I love you, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Yeah, because sweet fellowship and all. All that. As I sit here, I think it can be shadings of both. That God loves you totally, completely, and yet your sin, we know for sure it grieves him. But I think if we wanted to push that a little bit, you could also say that it does perhaps make him like angry. It could be just at sin itself, But I don't think that we can go as far to say that God is now angry at you, because he's not angry at you anymore. Very, very fine lines. Always need to be careful. If you think I needed a correction, please send it to idea@wretched.org.
Jake wants to know if you know where Satan got his original idea to rebel against God.
Nope. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org. I don't know. He was a vain one. He was a beautiful angel, and he apparently had mirrors then in heaven that he was looking in and going, I dig me some me. I think I should be God. Hey, anybody else agree? Let's join forces. A third of the angels rebelled against God, and they were booted out of heaven. And by the way, they are never going there. They will forever be bound in hell with those who don't repent and put their trust in Jesus Christ, because angels don't have a savior. Only human beings do, with the God-man Jesus Christ. Where did he come up with the idea? Don't know. Is it possible? This is the one that I think many of us wrestle with. Is it possible that someday we could be in heaven and act like Satan and sin? No. No, you can't, because you are eternally secure. You can't, because God is going to keep you. He is going to glorify you. He's going to, rightly understood, perfect you. You will not be sinning in heaven the way that Satan did. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
Hey, you know, instead of asking you another question, what I'd like to do?
No.
I'd love preborn.
Oh, stop it.
What?
Just, I'll get to it. Trust me. Go ahead. Just, you what? You just, you. Okay. I'm a radio professional,
okay.
Mister.
All right.
Here's Come on.
Here's a follow-up to a question we had last week about Christian modesty. Andrea wants to know if Christians should.
I've so got this.
Christian men should take their shirts off at the beach.
Uh-huh. See, here's the problem with that. You do that, somebody ends up getting pregnant, and then they consider terminating the life of their child. So you need to be supporting preborn.
Look at that.
See, that was a piece of cake right there. You actually should consider supporting preborn. Not kidding. Why? Because babies are being saved every day. And so are mommies. They preach the gospel to mommies and daddies. Don't forget, they also will take care of prenatal and postnatal. This isn't just a don't get an abortion, be on your way. No, they love on them. They preach the gospel. They'll help them, even train them to be parents. It's an outstanding ministry. You could support an ultrasound that 80% of the time saves a human being's life. For $28, please visit preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched, and don't go to the beach. What do we do with that issue regarding modesty and going to the beach? Let's back up just a moment here. Let me take you back in history, even a century. Perhaps you've seen these pictures. I believe it was called a bathing cart. And it wasn't just royalty. It was women who would put on their bathing togs covered from head to toe. You've seen those pictures. It's the way olive oil wore a bathing suit. That was the standard. But they went even further 100 years ago, give or take. They would have a woman in a cart backing up the cart into the water so that she could step right out of the cart, the privacy of the cart, into the water. That is how discreet they tried to be. Do you remember when showing ankles? Oh, how can you? And anything that revealed anything pretty much but, you know, face and fingers, that was considered sexy. Okay. Who's got it right here? Men's bathing suits used to include shirts. Now they don't. And I think that it is worth taking a look at this, because we need to remember, without having any chronological snobbery, those people weren't idiots. They weren't dumb. We breathe our cultural air, and our current cultural air is that certainly men can take off their shirts, and sometimes women can too. And that push for immodesty and topless beaches, that continues. Of course, there's nudist colonies. But overall, I think even Christians are accepting of males just wearing bathing suits, and that's the end of the story. What wasn't the attitude 100 or so years ago? Were they dumb? Were they too puritanical? Or were they concerned about the lust of the eyes? I know. That even to suggest that maybe, just maybe, we consider this issue sounds Neanderthalic to you. a throwback to a former era, but let's not make the mistake that so many people are making these days of tearing down statues. We've got evangelicals who came before us who were filled by the Holy Spirit who would say modesty is a big deal, because immodesty means we don't care about sin and the fall and hell and redemption in Jesus Christ. It's a big deal. Who should decide what everybody wears? Well, the truth of the matter is I should. Okay, that's not the truth of the matter. The individual should. God leaves this up to a conscience issue, and we need to let one another sharpen one another. And besides that, I can just tell you, I will bless you by never appearing in a bathing suit. That is my gift to you, because small children would be frightened. You wouldn't eat your next meal. I would bless you by not putting on a bathing suit. You need to figure that out and make that decision for you and your own families. I got enough to deal with mine. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.